Our future is missing. Hi, this is Christopher Froelich, host of Bookworm, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for 2-year-old Vontresa Bolden, female, African-American, about 2 feet 4 inches, about 20 pounds, brown eyes, black hair. She went missing from Champaign, Illinois, February 17th, 2011, at 10:43 p.m. She may be in the company of her mother, Rakim Moore. They may be in the Houston, Texas area. The mom, Rakim, is a biracial African-American Caucasian, and she may be using the last name Harris. This is a family abduction. If you know of Vontresa's whereabouts or Rakim Moore's, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-THE-LOST. And basically, in number terms, that's 1-800-5678. To see a picture of both Vontresa or Rakim, please click on the link on Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to our futureismissing.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, real kids, real talk radio.
This is America Today on the Voice America Kids channel. Each week we discuss what's going on in news and politics. Now, here is the host of America Today.
Today, I'm your host, Mackenzie Urias, hooking you up with all the latest happenings in America. So right now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what else Obama, because he's campaigning right now. Well, I mean, he's not technically campaigning, but a lot of people are accusing him of campaigning because, you know, 2012 is coming up pretty soon, whether you like it or not, and that means it's time for re-elections, and Obama obviously wants to get re-elected, get his name out there. So Obama's taking a vacation pretty soon, and he was just down in some rural parts of America just to talk, I guess, for official political business is probably what he would like to would like you guys to hear. But a lot of people are accusing him of, you know, being on the campaign trail already and trying to plug in his votes. And I mean, it's his right, whatever, he can go do it. But here's the interesting thing, because Obama is talking to these rural parts of America, the parts that are suffering right now, because, you know, rural America is the center of small businesses, or what used to be small businesses, and now we see all these small businesses going out of business and then having all these huge, giant corporations, and I guess monopolies would be the unofficial and very uneconomical term that's not 100% correct, but that I still want to use. But anyways, these giant corporations are taking over small businesses, and it's causing a lot of unemployment and causing a lot of people who sort of relied on the small community and sort of relied on, you know, their own businesses, they're having a lot of difficulty. And it's also bringing up unemployment. All right, so these are big things. They're issues that average Americans are facing every day. This isn't just, you know, some ambiguous issue that we're not really tied to, or, you know, we're tied to in some really off way. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of you are affected by this too. You might know a family member or somebody who's been affected by this economy, right? You know, maybe even your own family had to cut down with spending, or, you know, maybe your parents got fired from their job, or they had to seek some other kind of employment. But this is a huge issue, and this is one of the issues that's going to be coming up when a lot more campaigners are coming out and trying to get the votes out there. But Obama is sort of pointing fingers at somebody, and who else? It's not really a big surprise, the Republican Party. So Obama's blaming the Republican Party for the unemployment issues right now. Specifically, he's saying that Congress needs to stop with all of this, like, just basically their shenanigans, I guess. Really weird word to use. But he's saying that Congress is sort of to blame for all of the high unemployment rates. In fact, he's saying that he himself has tried so many times to fix the problem, but Congress wouldn't agree to it. Specifically, he's saying that Republicans are keeping him down, and that he said, you know, a refusal of a faction in Congress to put the country ahead of a party is the reason that us Americans are being held back, right? It's very interesting because I don't really like the way that he put it. I'm just going to comment on the story as I keep, you know, like giving you guys tidbits of information before I expand a little bit. But it's really weird because I normally sort of identify myself with Democrats a little bit more, just in general. But I kind of don't like the way that Obama puts this, just because I'm a little bit tired of these politicians blaming parties and, like, pointing fingers and stuff, saying, oh, it's their fault and blah, blah, blah. You can fix it. I'm just a little bit annoyed that there wasn't much substance in his speech other than it's their fault. And then he sort of says, I'll do what I can to fix it. But he just kind of stops there. Like, you know, he's not really telling us why or how he can fix it. He's just saying, it's their fault, but don't worry. If we get rid of them, then totally got your back. Right? Sort of the same thing as last year, right? But it's also interesting because I'm not directly opposed to Obama, right? Because I do think that it's sort of not just one party's fault, but both parties. And that includes the Republicans. I do think that Congress in general, Washington in general, has been kind of sluggish with all of these decisions, right? You know, our government almost shut down. They probably really wouldn't have shut down, but they were just, you know, they were just waiting until last minute to make a decision, you know? And this happens all the time, right? It's a never-ending story, and I'm only 16, and I'm getting so sick of it already, you know? Like, these political parties are arguing with each other and pointing fingers and saying, we can fix this, you need to agree with us in order for all of this to work, which is very sort of ironically childish, and it's not really going to solve anything. I mean, then again, what do I know, because I'm not in Congress and I'm not doing these things, but it sort of seems to me like Congress has some issues that they need to resolve. They need to be a little more cooperative. Anyways, that was a little bit of a tangent, but I think that's a little bit important because I feel strongly that things are very sluggish in our government. And the reason why I think this opinion, in general, my opinion, is important, not because, like, I'm a person of importance with a voice, you know what I'm saying? But I think that my ideas sort of reflect what a lot of people in general are thinking, because I've talked to my friends and stuff, and we've all pretty much sort of come to a consensus where we think that the government is slowing down, right? They're not doing as much. They're more about arguing and stuff. And regardless of Congress actually being that way, the fact that they're presented that way is in of itself an issue. But that's something that we can focus on a little bit later. Anyways, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what Obama said and why it's so interesting where he said it. So he's trying to get these rural areas to get support because he's trying to specifically focus on the people who have been affected by this economy, because a lot of people who've been affected by this are losing hope in the president, losing hope in the government. So what Obama is trying to do is trying to lift up their spirits and telling them that if you reelect me, then I can help you guys. I can help the people who are directly affected. But Congress, you know, Congress is totally against me, right? He even said, quote, but we can do even more if Congress is willing to get into the game. He pretty much directly blamed the Republican opposition for stalling all of these deals to sort of ease the payroll tax release on middle-class Americans. And I think that it's just, I'm getting, like I said, I said this a little bit ago, but I'm 16 years old and I'm already sick of hearing stuff like this. I'm just sick of politicians trying to tell me that it's somebody's fault and that they can do it. Why I'm interested that Obama is specifically focusing on the rural parts is because the rural parts that he's touring in right now are the exact same states that easily won him votes in 2008, okay? So it's more than just maybe this is a campaign whatever scheme or try to put an evil connotation to it or not. It's not like 100% upfront that he's just, you know, doing official political business, quote unquote. But I do want to stress that I'm not against Obama. I'm not saying that I'm not putting my opinion out there that I don't want Obama to be president in 2012, because I don't really know right now. I'm so confused, and I think that that my opinion also reflects the opinion of a lot of other Americans out there. They're very unsure, or their opinion isn't backed up by more than sort of just like an emotional response or a response that has directly affected them. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody lost their job, then they're going to directly blame the government and the president for not taking care of it. And so what I really want to know is why, all right? Aside from my general distaste for parties, I've said this a few times on my show, but I'll go ahead and say it again, that this is George Washington said this. You all know who George Washington is. George Washington said that political parties would be the death of this country. And so I kind of, ever since I've read that, and ever since I've become to understand what parties do and what they look like they do, I've really sort of realized that parties do a lot of arguing, right? And they don't do a lot of they do solve things, because if they didn't solve things, then we would be a complete democracy, and that would be a total disaster. I do not want to see anything like that. But, you know, it seems like you're always hearing these stories on the news where the Republicans or the Democrats, they do this or do this. Somebody says this. Because of them, this isn't happening. Because of them, this is happening, and it's really bad, so don't vote for them. Blah, 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 blah. I'm getting a little irritated by it, honestly, because I don't really find that any party is going out there and saying why this is good. I mean, here's what I'm saying, that the people who really want to make good decisions for America, I do believe they're out there, and I do believe that they're even in Congress right now. But another issue is that we don't know about them, okay? They're not making a deliberate effort to tell us why. And I think if Obama went on this campaign trail and told me why this would work instead of just like, oh, it's their fault, and then give us a bunch of ambiguous terms saying, you know, but if you reelect me, then I'll do this, or I have a plan. That's all he's really saying, right? But, you know, what is your plan? How is your plan really going to work? I really want my president to be able to tell me why things work. I don't want, like, somebody to pump me up with a bunch of fluff, basically, you know what I'm saying? I don't want any politician to give me broad statements, things that nobody can argue with, right? I want them to give me a why. I want them to decide things and be very clear-cut about it, but not just, you know, not just be like, well, Republicans are causing this because they refuse to agree to something. That's so very ambiguous to me. I want to know, you know, how exactly, what specific things you're going to do to solve this. Don't just give me propaganda. Give me a statement. Give me a hypothesis. Let me know how you're going to fix this country. Maybe then I would put more trust in you, but I don't really understand why politicians don't make more of an effort to have the whole population know about all of this. So I'm going to take a little bit of a break and let that linger in your mind for a little bit. And when we get back, I'm just going to wrap this up. But keep it right here. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m. whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I was talking to you guys a little bit about social responsibility because the game, his whole thing, you know, the Twitter prank, basically, where he had people call in for an internship, but it was actually a sheriff's office number, and then the sheriff's office was totally mad, and, you know, for a good reason, right? All the people who want to call in for an emergency because they need help, being pushed back because people want internships, because people were fooled by the game to thinking that it was actually legit. And the game didn't really apologize, but sort of laughed it off and blamed it on a friend. So when I first heard this story, I was really mad, and I was sort of like, how dare you? You don't deserve to be in this position. But then I sort of thought about it a little bit more, and as I was scrolling through all the comments and all these forums that reported this whole thing, I realized when people say, you know, it's horrible that America has people like this who are famous, and, you know, he doesn't deserve to be famous now, and there are a lot of other people who do good that aren't famous, you know, that whole argument. But here's what I'm saying. I was just thinking about this. Why is it so bad for bad people to be famous? Normally, we look at fame as something really positive and something everybody wants, but I think there's a clear distinction between the types of fame, right? When we think of fame, really, you just sort of attach the word attention to it, and attention is good and bad. But what I'm saying, the reason I'm saying that there are two types of attention, so basically, two types of fame, is because I don't necessarily think that it's bad for bad people to be famous. Here's why. Because we can make examples of the people that are bad if they're famous. You know, in the game's case, we can make an example of how immature he was being, and we can blow him off, and we can say that we don't respect him anymore and all that stuff, but that's good, right? I mean, in the end, he sort of deserves the attention that he's getting from this because most of it's going to be negative. There aren't going to be people who are going to follow him on Twitter now, or for the most part, I guess. And there aren't going to be people who are going to respect him more now. There are going to be people that respect him less. So really, this fame that's coming from this is a negative reaction, and it's really a consequence of his action. And so when you think about all the people that are famous in America, you think about the bad ones and the good ones, right? I'll just give you guys an example. This is one that's really cliche, but Miley Cyrus, right? She was a huge Disney star, and a lot of kids, a lot of very young girls looked up to her, but then she got caught with a video at a party using a bong, and all of a sudden, a lot of parents didn't let their kids go to her concerts, so she kind of sort of plummeted from there. I haven't really heard too much about her since then and don't really care, but the thing is that we take those people and we use them to sort of draw a distinction between what's good and what's bad in society. What we do with those bad people is we look at them and say, I don't want to be that, like, wow, they're a train wreck. And while that might be unfortunate for the people who are famous because maybe they do have a problem, at the same time, they're the ones that have the issues and they should fix it. For us, and I'm taking a very harsh side to this because I think that examples are the best way that kids learn, right? And so whenever I was looking at these forums and people were saying that nobody should follow him and nobody should give him attention for this and everybody's bad for sort of bringing this up more and giving him more attention, more feedback, right? I think that kids, and not just kids, but people in general, learn better whenever they see things happening. You know, you can be lectured about something, you can be told that this is immature, this is a bad decision, this is a mistake, and you can be told why, but when you see it as an example, you really see the immaturity that is and really realize how real the consequences are. That's when you think to yourself, hey, I don't want to be like him, right? And so I think that's what we sort of should do for the game. This attention is a good thing, not because he did a good thing and not because we want to make him more, we're not giving him glory, essentially, but we want to make him an example for kids. And so am I saying that he shouldn't apologize? Definitely not saying that. If he wants to have a good name, then he should apologize. But now we're getting into morality, right? If he wants to do the right thing, yeah, he should really come out and say that was a really dumb thing. He should, you know, have some integrity, have a little bit of honor and respect for that. But he's obviously not doing that right now. But if he really wants to get his name out there, instead of doing a negative thing, do more positive things. And sometimes it's hard, but in the end, you know, if you want to be remembered, if you want to be famous, then why are you chasing for negative fame? I never really understood that. And I guess when I was probably a little, like probably like sixth grade, maybe a little bit younger, I sort of realized what negative attention was and I liked it a little bit. But then I realized in the end that not only my actions have consequences for that, but that people are going to remember me for being a bad person. And in the end, that's not something that I want to be famous for. And so if I want to make a name for myself, I sort of should build a name of respect and dignity. And I think that's what the game should do. In the end, I really want him to do this for himself, do what's the best for his life and apologize, come out. You know, he's never really like fully confronted this situation. He's never really said like, oh yeah, you know that Twitter thing? Well, I'm going to talk to you guys about it because I don't think this is right. Whatever. He just, when it was brought up to him, he sort of laughed at it and pointed and sort of shoved it away. But if he doesn't want to do what's best for himself, then let him get all this negative attention, right? Let him be known and let him suffer for it. And in the end, just know that it's something that's not glorified just because he's famous. You know, fame doesn't necessarily have a positive connotation, and it shouldn't, because there are different types of attentions that I was talking about. So now I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit, moving on, about drownings. And this is something that I've personally had an experience with somebody in my family. It's almost the end of summer, right? But a lot of kids are still swimming out there. And if you see all the public pools and stuff, tons of kids crowding in on the weekends before Labor Day, before they all close and whatnot. The state of Arizona had 8 drownings last weekend, and 8's a pretty big number. It's a very unusually high number for that area. And so the thing that really interests me is that in Arizona they have huge ads for watch your kids around water. They do that all the time, right? They say those words constantly and constantly. But, you know, no matter how many times they say it, no matter how many times people actively try to educate kids and parents, when you hear of those drownings or near drowning stories, they all sound the same, right? You know, people are saying, I was just out for a second, or I wasn't watching for just a minute, or I was going to come right back, right? And so I'm going to dig down a bit deep, a little bit sensitive, and talk to you guys about my personal story. When I was a little kid, I was probably like 9, 8 years old. My little cousin, he was still a toddler. He was probably around 4 or 5. He actually went outside into the pool, and he tried to throw something away. He ended up actually drowning, and the ambulance, they couldn't revive him. And so he lost his life because, you know, a split second, right? Something that really we don't have control over. And it didn't really, I was a little kid still, but, you know, I was always told, you know, be safe around water and be aware of drownings and stuff. But whenever that happened to me and the tragedy that I saw unfold in my own family, I really realized how important it was that people knew about it, right? And then I would always wonder why people would sort of take for granted the campaigns that people have, you know, like be safe around water. Don't leave the pool for a split second. You hear all the time these people are doing it anyways. They're always just leaving for a split second. And so there are really two angles to this whole, I don't really want to call it an issue, like it's, you know, like it's something that we can necessarily fix 100%, but it is something that's tragic that I really hope that people understand that, you know, again, two angles. Accidents happen. And we're not going to be able to fix accidents all the time. But, you know, you can't always blame somebody for it. But I also think there's a problem with taking and processing information just in general. In today's society, we have such a problem with trusting ourselves too much, right? You know, we never think that things are going to happen to us. And that's why those awareness groups are so popular, because people are, you know, those awareness groups are saying, hey, it can happen to every single one of you. It can happen to anybody. You know, examples, I don't really want to use this one, but those drug campaigns, you know, trying to get kids to step up and not take drugs, you know, don't even do it one time. Because a lot of kids think to themselves, oh, I'm not going to get addicted. I'm just going to do it one time. It's not going to happen to me. But yet, everybody says this, and there are a lot of young people and older people that are still being affected by addiction. And so obviously something's not working. Obviously they can't control it. The reason why I bring this up, the whole awareness things, is that it's obvious that we trust on our own, I guess, our own knowledge. And we don't really realize the consequences of each of our actions. You know, when I think about it, I think about how I've learned the past, I don't know, I'm 16, so up until about last year, I think that I learned like a lot of people did, where I took notes and I knew what to do, I knew what to say, but I didn't really like live it. That sounds kind of cheesy when I'm talking about like school and history and stuff, but when I'm talking about awareness and talking about, you know, keeping kids safe around pools and around water, that's something that's really important that you not only just take notes on and you can reiterate, but that's something that you really have to live by. And I think that a lot of people think that it's not going to happen to them, that, you know, and I don't mean to say this in a harsh way, but that they're invincible, right? Like, they can control it. They're only going to leave for a second. They're totally in control. But what we need to remind ourselves is that we're not in control. You know, there's I can't really make the distinction between people making mistakes or people just having irresponsibility, but hindsight isn't my purpose here. And I'm going to take a little bit of a break and talk to you guys a little bit more about those, about that distinction. But just keep it right here. You're listening to America Today on Voice America Kids Network.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to the program America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and right now we're talking about the U.S. Airways scandal, I guess. And so, right, I've been talking about Marmon, who wore the baggy pants, and he was kicked off the plane while an older man, several days later, was allowed to wear lingerie. He was allowed to board the plane wearing this ridiculous and sort of disturbing outfit. At first, I just want to put my thought on the look itself, that I don't know why it's more offensive for somebody to wear baggy pants versus wearing lingerie. And, I don't even get what the problem was, because the baggy pants is sort of a socially acceptable look, more general. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't like the look and think that it's bad and it means you're a bad person. I don't understand their point of view with that. But, I mean, wearing women's lingerie when you're, let's face it, an old man, that's not a look. That's controversy. That's trying to get attention for being just slightly disturbing. And so, I mean, it's not like he was going to regularly wear that and that it was just him getting on the plane. It was obviously something more than that. He was just trying to get attention, and I don't know why, and I don't know his reason for that. I don't think he was ever really questioned for that, and if he was, and he hasn't said anything about it. But again, Deshaun went on the plane because he was supposed to go on the plane because he was getting somewhere, and he's a college football player. You know, he's not a terrible person. To be a college football player, you have to have good grades. You have to have certain number of community service hours. You have to be a relatively good guy. And that's not to say that all college football players are great guys, but I don't see anything that says that Deshaun was a terrible guy and he shouldn't be allowed on the plane. But he was just trying to get on the plane. He wasn't trying to do anything extra. While this man wearing lingerie, who's getting all this attention, he was obviously there for something else. He wasn't just going on the plane to get on the plane. He wasn't, it's not like he wasn't trying to get any extra attention for this or any media coverage for this, right? And so I don't understand why they thought that Deshaun was such a threat or something that they should stop, because I see people dress like this all the time. And regardless, if you think that it's a look that shouldn't be worn, it's still a look that we necessarily don't try to stop and say that it's unacceptable. They're still allowed to go to places, right? But how many stores do you know would kick somebody out wearing lingerie versus the baggy pants, right? I mean, I don't know where US Airways draws the line. And so that's why a lot of people are saying that race is the key here. And Reverend Amos Brown said that race is a part of our DNA. Racism is still a huge part of America. And even though we like to ignore that and we like to pretend like it doesn't exist, we still do judge people based on race, and we still judge people based on their look. And so I think that even though it might not be the key thing, race might not be like the key factor in this, I still think that, you know, I can understand Reverend Amos Brown's point that race is the key. I understand where he's coming from, and I don't think that it's necessarily ridiculous to say that race is the key, even though I don't necessarily agree that it's the number one factor in this. I think that it's more ridiculous to say that Deshaun Marmon was a threat to security and that they felt like it was necessary for him to get off the plane because he was such a threat. And so this is interesting. I just want to talk to you a little bit about the look, because I mentioned this before and I didn't really clarify what I meant. So the look, I think what US Airways stopped him for is because he sort of had that thug look. You know, I find this ridiculous, but whatever. If you're wearing the baggy pants and the really long t-shirt and whatever, this is what Deshaun was wearing. You know, he fits the stereotype, right? And the fact that he is African-American, sort of, I guess for some people, it would make him look more like a thug. And I don't know why US Airways has the right to say that. I think what they did, though, is that they saw Deshaun Marmon and they think, punk kid, I don't want him on my plane. And, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't do the same thing for the man who was wearing lingerie. You see, crazy, let's face it, crazy old man, I don't want him on my plane either. I don't know where they draw it. I'm not following their logic, and they're not following their logic either, because they contradict themselves. Well, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. The show is America Today. I'm Mackenzie, and our topic today is US Airways controversy. So, to go further with just this whole controversy, you know, prosecutors haven't decided yet if they're going to charge Marmon for the outburst, and they have until July 18th to decide if they will charge him with anything. What are they going to charge him for? The outburst. Okay, so this is the ambiguous story that US Airways gives us, that, you know, the reason he was kicked off is because of the violent outburst or something. And, you know, the whole plane had to be deboarded because of it. But I have something to say about this. I mean, who would you rather sit next to? Because personally, I'd rather sit next to Marmon than this old guy wearing lingerie. It's just not, it's not something I want to look at. And personally, I feel like if I saw that, I would probably ask security to tell him to put on something else, because I don't, that is disturbing to me. And the fact that this whole like baggy pants thing is more disturbing to US Airways shows that they have absolutely no logical argument for this and that they are in the wrong. I think that that's clear, that it's something that's controversial and something that shouldn't have happened. And I think that US Airways is sort of trying to play like the little child, putting the blame on somebody else because they don't want to look bad. But again, the fact that they're trying to defend their argument and going further with that and saying, well, we had the right to. They really should have thought about their argument before they said it, because it doesn't make sense to anybody. I think that it shouldn't anyways. It's very interesting that this happens in America. I feel like this sort of happens all the time, this double standard. But anyways, so US Airways denies that race played a role. I think that it's personally this style, and I think that it was more of a personal thing. I think that the crew maybe just as a whole thought that it was a punk kid and they didn't want him on the plane. But I think that it's very case specific and it's very regionally specific. So I think if, you know, there was an overweight man who wasn't wearing a shirt and stuff, and then there were a lot of people on the crew that didn't like that, they would have told him to get off. And, you know, we probably would have seen a couple days later where if we saw the man in the lingerie, is because just he was, I guess he was lucky, right place, right time, you know. And I think that, again, it's just the crew's own prejudice that sort of got in the way with this. And again, racism is possible, but I think it's more typical that people base your character on your whole style. You know, he had the whole package, right? He had the thug package. And I don't think that he is necessarily that type of person, but the crew felt like it was. And so that's why I say it was very case specific. But, you know, I just want to say, like, why did they think Marmon was necessarily dangerous? Why didn't they think that the old man was dangerous either? Because this is what I'm thinking. Okay, the old man's wearing lingerie, right? You know, he could be like a creep or he could be crazy. Why didn't they stop him and question him? Why aren't they, if they're sticking to their guns here and they're saying that, no, we thought that Marmon was a threat, why didn't they do the same thing for the old man? Why wasn't the old man also a threat? And it's sort of weird to say that, but, you know, he could be a possible threat. He's sort of out of the ordinary. And so, you know, it's not like Marmon had any contraband or anything else. It was just that he had this look. And so they judged him, but why didn't they judge the old man? I don't even understand how you can't judge the old man for wearing something that crazy. And here's another thing. So their argument is they kicked him off the plane because, you know, he had this violent outburst. So if he did get kicked off the plane for the violent outburst, why did US Airways come up to him in the first place and ask him to adjust his pants? You know, I recall them saying that they had no right to kick the old man off the plane because they have no dress code. So as long as he wasn't revealing anything that he shouldn't be revealing, then it was perfectly okay. So that argument is completely thrown out. Don't use that again, US Airways. That's complete. That's just ridiculous. And I don't understand how you, and I'm, you know what? I don't care. I'm directly attacking you. I think that your arguments are completely invalid. You're contradicting yourself. There's obviously something else. And I think that we need to get down to, you know, the core of this. I think that there's something that you're hiding. And I feel like if we are going to judge people based on how they dress, you know, their style, then I think that we shouldn't create this double standard. We shouldn't let anybody get away with this. And this sort of ties back to my last radio segment, where if we're going to do something for the good of security, then why don't we do it for everybody, you know? I think that it's going to be fair, and if it is for security, then, you know, we can talk about security, but we need to do this for everybody so we don't create a double standard. So we're not saying to people that we're judging a certain group, you know? We're just making sure that everybody is secure. How about let's say that instead? But again, if we're just going to judge people based on how they're dressed, I think that we really need to examine that carefully and really refine our understanding and our, you know, we need to study what looks could tell about people. And we really need to get that down to a system before we use that as an argument and we use that for security. Well, thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to America Today on the Voice America Kids Radio Network.
Find
out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I was talking to you guys a little bit about drownings because it is summertime, wrapping it up, and 8 drownings in Arizona happened over last weekend, and so it is obviously an issue. And a little bit before the break, I was talking to you guys about a distinction, how you know, there are honest mistakes or things that we can't really control, right? But then there are also just people making actively bad decisions without sort of considering everything. And I think that my whole reason for bringing this up is not to... I'm not trying to say that I'm going to help end all of these tragedies, because there are going to be some things that people can't control. But what I'm trying to do is trying to get people to actively realize that they're in control of situations more than they think they are, but in different reasons. You know, I'm all about individuals making better choices for their lives. That's the whole reason why I sort of do this show, is not because I like to talk for hours and hours about like random social issues, because at the end of the day, I think there's something valuable that we can learn from things. And I'm all about the individuals making actions, like, you know, one person, each person making an active choice to do something better for themselves, and not necessarily like I'm not trying to be general and say America can do something better for themselves by blah, blah, blah. Because I think that America is individuals, as weird and like almost grammatically incorrect as that sounds. But, you know, the reason why I'm saying that there are things that you can control is because, you know, there are, you have to remind yourself that you're not invincible of a situation, that things can happen to you. That's something that's very hard that I've had to learn about these past couple years, and especially very recently. In general, when you make a choice to do something, do everything you can to control it, and do everything you can to keep that decision in your control. You know, so for example, if you're watching your sibling around the pool and then you're saying, oh, well, I'm just going to leave for a second to get my, you know, grab myself and then come back out. It'll be like 5 seconds max. It's right there. You think you're under control, but you really have to be, you know, be the mature one and really think about this and think about how in control you're not, because you can't, for those 5 seconds, you're not going to be able to actively do something if something happens. You're not even going to be aware if something happens, right? So, you know, the thing to control here is not, you know, just leaving for 5 seconds and, you know, I'm totally, because it's such a short time, I'm totally aware, or my short unawareness isn't going to have consequential things happen. But more that making the decision to, you know, bring your little sibling in with you while you're getting your cell phone, that's the control that I'm talking about. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that there's something that you can control when in all reality there isn't. You know, when you're thinking about things you control, try to consider all of the outside forces that could happen. If you ever think to yourself that you're in control, but in the back of your mind, you know, something could happen, but it's not going to happen, that's definitely not something you want to do, right? If in the back of your mind, even if you don't consider it being a possibility, if it's something that could happen, it's something that it could happen. Take that word very literally. So be in control. Do everything you can to actually be in control, to have as little outside forces as possible, so that way you can make active decisions for yourself. And so that way, you know, more kids can be safe out there. My whole message, you know, besides this little philosophical tangent that I had, is really what we're playing with is safety for kids. And I'm not trying to do this to scare you guys, but to make you guys realize that the small changes that you make, you know, when you're considering an action, you know, the way that you control it will really make for the better, really make for safer kids. That's really my whole message here. But, you know, in the end, you really need to educate yourself and really do things that are the best for your life. I probably say that like 50 times on this show. That's an exaggeration. But I really want you guys to be able to make the absolute best decisions for your life and be educated about the things that you can and can't control. I think that's my message about this whole show. You know, from social responsibility to why Obama, you know, pointing fingers at them and what his real solution is and why he's not giving us a YT, you know, even like drownings and near drownings and all of those issues really come down to doing what's best for yourself. And that's why I sort of went on that tangent to say that it's about the individuals. It's not about like the whole, you know what I'm saying? I'm not preaching to America. I'm preaching to you guys. And I really hope that at least you can take away one thing from each segment, or at least each show, or at least one show out of my entire show, out of my entire show collection, I guess you could say, and really think about what you can do to actively better yourself. Think about what choices that you have, and sort of realize that when you make a better decision for yourself, you're really sort of stepping up the game, you know, and making other people realize that they can do that. You're also creating a better environment and a better America. And I'm not even saying this to be cheesy, but I'm saying this because I actually believe in it. And I hope that's the one thing that you take away from all of this. But that's going to do it for us here. America Today, thank you for listening to me so much, and get you guys back next week. You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. I'm your host, Mackenzie Urias.
Thanks again for being a part of America Today. We'll be back next week with more discussion of the news and politics that are shaping our future on the Voice America Kids channel.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.